Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 2th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Howdy.
Howdy.
Are you, howdy. You're wearing the county fair thing.
Got the Ferndale Humboldt County Fair. That's, you know, it happens to be in the first district, but it's represented by all five districts. It's the Humboldt County Fair, and we're having a fair this year.
Okay. I figured you were flying the flag for some reason.
Nope. They're going to have horse races.
Or you forgot to do the laundry last night.
We're going to need to help them a little bit, but I mean,
we've been running that stuff.
COVID hit it pretty hard, and they've tried to keep her going. And
the horses.
So I think it's more important to the community to have a fair this year, because I think people are going to be coming out of their little bundles of
kind of started seeing it this past weekend
little expansion into, you know, coming to the fair and almost doing things as a family out and about.
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as they don't hang out too long at the cotton candy stand.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll kill anybody.
I'm on that homemade blackberry pie thing. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
The healthy version.
Isn't it amazing what you miss when you can't?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff, yeah.
A lot of truth.
All righty. Are you ready for your question here?
No, but go ahead.
All right. Why is reprimanding someone called reading them the Riot Act?
Because, this is a very interesting question, because back in 1902, they actually, a guy came out and reprimanded his workers on something they did. Well, they got mad about the wages, and then it became turned into a riot. So it forced him into the Riot Act. I have no idea.
All right. I'm going to read what it said, and then we'll go with it. Our sovereign lord the king chargeth and commendeth all persons being assembled immediately to disperse themselves and peacefully to depart to their habitations or to their lawful business upon the pains contained in the act made in the first year of King George for preventing tumultuous and riotous assemblies. God save the king. That was a proclamation, and that is the Riot Act, which was enacted in 1715 by the British Parliament under King George
I. 1715? 1715. Oh, we missed by 187 years.
More correctly, it's what the Riot Act says must be read by the sheriff or the mayor to disperse unlawful assemblages. This is what reading the Riot Act originally meant. Today, of course, it's been distorted to mean giving anybody a severe reprimand.
Yeah.
So there really was a historical reason.
There was. I just didn't have the right one.
Yeah. Oh, geez. So county's kind of moving towards the budget. Good budget, bad budget, so-so budget. What do you think?
Well, I know we have a lot of hurdles to climb and a lot of things to fix to get what our budget will be. And I think you've heard some
still?
Of the, you know, yeah. And at this point, we still won't be able to know the exact numbers, but I know that they're working their little calculators off, the buttons off the calculators to get those numbers all in so we can turn it all in and everything can, our departments can get paid. And
yeah, I saw some, we're going to talk about departments paying their bills.
Didn't say that.
Oh, apparently my hearing is getting a little faulty then. I had an email last week that was talking about the recall and the various time potentials of
mine?
What it is. Not yours specifically,
damn.
No. But that the state, I guess, is going to cover the cost of, has to cover the cost of the recall. So it's not to the counties for the election, which is a nice breath of fresh air.
It's a state-driven election, but it's also going to be, it's going to cost state $400 million, but the way we're throwing money around, it looks like we got a lot of it.
Yeah, piece of cake, yeah. So that was a thought. Okay, when could this happen? And it was anywhere from the middle of August through the middle of September, based on when this period is triggered. You know, there's like a, I guess right now we're in the period of time when if you signed the recall petition and now you want to pull your name out, you have this window to take that opportunity. Well, there's 100,000 over what they need, so that's going to go on. But at what point then does the next 60-day window happen, and then a 30-day window, and then we're off to the races? Do you sense that there's going to be any disruption at all of what the county's day-to-day operations will be under this shadow of a recall or going through the process? Or is it just something that's going on over here on the side and we really don't worry too much about it as long as they send money?
Well, and that's what, and it's not me. It's all the talking heads on TV and in Sacramento and Sacramento Bee and the Chronicle and even the National News. They've called it the recall effect because we're getting a lot of money to fund a lot of things. I mean, we're getting a lot of money for infrastructure. We, the infrastructure things are coming. We got $11 million to clean up or to work on the dock so we could build windmills to take out in the ocean. Or we got the money to look for, I think the money says to look for more money to help us find federal funding.
So it's just seed money to find more money from the same organization that gave the money.
That's but I mean, there's money. They're calling it the refund. I mean, we just had the 500, the 600, the 1200, the money's given to families under $75,000.
When is that supposed to happen?
I think that's already started to happen for people making less than $75,000. I think that's already happened.
Oh. Have you gotten yours? No? Okay.
So, I mean, I think, have you filed taxes, Winston? It's a fair question.
Yeah.
You might be.
His head was nodding up and down at that one, by the way.
Your father's son. So anyway, I'm just saying it is this money evolves, but there's a lot of money going out to a lot of projects, housing, mid-range housing and homeless housing. We just saw
the floodgates have been opened.
Well, last week his housing director, they put out another $5.1 billion, and this isn't for. This is for mid-range housing, but it was so funny. He also said, the counties, the cities, you guys need to lead with yes. You need to say yes. When somebody comes in and wants to build a house or build some houses, don't say, no, that won't go there. Start saying yes and then making it work.
He's sounding a lot more conservative than what he's been saying.
Well, the housing director, recently. I don't know if the housing director has a job today because that's what he was saying yesterday. But, I mean, it was just saying, you know, it's going to be in somebody's backyard. And if we're going to actually solve a housing crisis, we're going to have to build some houses. And we're not doing it here.
Not yet. Not with the materials costs.
Well, material costs, that's going to drive the bus.
I heard $100 a sheet of plywood.
$500 for 7 sheets.
Okay,
so about 80.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yipes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
80 to 90, depending where you are. I mean,
Yeah. And transportation costs, too. Yeah. Don't forget that part. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. This recall effect thing is kind of interesting. I mean, it'd be cool if you could leverage it somehow.
Yeah, in all fairness to the governor, we have a $80 billion windfall. I mean, we have that much money extra in the state. And when you get to a certain point, you can't hold on to it. You have to.
Well, we could cut taxes across the board. Maybe sales tax,
you know,
so everybody benefits on that one. That could be kind of nice.
You know, I saw one the other day where, like, the federal government on your PPP money, they forgave your taxes on that. Well, they're not forgiving the taxes on a lot of business, the California money.
Right, the state
isn't. Because if you made money money when you got your PPP and you made money, you didn't lose money for that. You didn't have the losses. You can't write off. And I'm going, that meant that these people had businesses that were instrumental and needed to be open, and they worked and they made money, our grocery stores, our hardware stores and things like that. But they were also out there on the front lines the whole time, just like everybody else, having to be at their counter taking care of people. And I just thought that maybe they should be, maybe we should have awarded them, or at least given them the opportunity to have their PPP taxes.
Something.
You know,
if he's got that kind of money just kind of floating around, then why are they doing what they're doing in the jails?
Yeah.
Let's build some new ones. You don't shut down these prisons. What about mental health facilities?
Yeah.
I mean, let's do some of these things that are high-ticket items.
He put some money in. There is money coming out for mental health.
Facilities, yeah, not for the counties to continue to have.
No. Yeah.
We came back from lunch yesterday, and I saw, you know, some guys climbing the trees right by the Office of Ed inside there where they were having problems with homeless stuff. Just climbing, and then they're out walking on the street. I said, wait a minute. What is going on? And that's acceptable? If there are those revenues sitting around, it's a chance to recapture some normalcy, whatever it is. And if that means that if you break the law, you actually have consequences, if that means you need some help and perhaps guidance and not containment, but okay, if you need that level of assistance, great, let's do those things now. I mean, it's a chance to invest in the infrastructure.
Well, and I don't know if you saw last week, Dr. Boxbaum from Fortuna just got a grant for a kid's grant to help kids that are going through mental trauma.
The stress
and, you know,
related
the stress
stuff.
And everything else with you know, and he's going to have, I think, 15 or 20 beds, and it's going to be that kind of, and he's reached out, and what a great guy, and he's working his tail off to find a facility, and he's really making an effort, and that's exciting. DHHS is working really hard on putting together a day facility with services and everything else, kind of like a Loaves and Fishes out of Sacramento. That's moving forward. They found a location.
But is that something that will, I guess what I'm looking at or looking for or hoping is that we have something that will begin to systemically address things that are making us all uncomfortable and challenging. And, you know, I mean, we're starting the tourist season.
Yeah.
And you know what number one comment is going to be for the next 4 months from people new to our area, our one-time shot for this decade to have a positive, get them back. Why are there so many in your area?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it seems like there's a chance.
And I think we said this last time. It's not just our area.
Of course it's
but,
not.
But, it, but,
we're
but it's
concentrated.
The only, it's the only damn area that I'm really concerned with and you're concerned with right now, because this is our area. And so I think DHHS is and I had mentioned the fact that unless they're harm to themselves or to others, but there's a third leg to that, and somebody had corrected me this last week, that we can, almost following Laura's law, there are ways we can commit people that are just, we have people on the streets that just need help. They need help, and we have to put them somewhere. We're hoping this daycare facility or day use facility.
But that's just daytime.
It's just,
right?
But there's going to be services available, and then hopefully we're going to follow that with locations to put them in.
Over
and it may be motels. It may be something along those lines, because that Project Room Key, and on to what he was saying last week, they are making motels available. They're making them accessible for counties, and like Provident just bought the one that's helping us there on 4th Street for mental trauma, homelessness. Right now they're using it for susceptible to COVID, older people susceptible to COVID, so they don't get it, and things like that. So as we move forward, I think there's a lot of effort going forward. It's just
regional mental health facilities, though, are not. It shouldn't be Humboldt County having to carry the load.
No,
or,
and I mean,
Mendocino or anybody else. This is a state.
All these counties around us, none of them have a Sempervirens. We're the smallest. I think we're the smallest county with a Sempervirens, because we just, it's a lot of effort, and we find this now because, you know, by law we have to, if we're going to admit someone to one of those facilities, we have to get them cleared at a local hospital. Well, now we have a issue of a police officer with somebody that's going through a trauma and has to sit with them, or somebody in the hospital has to sit with them, an emergency nurse, and they cause, we had a big scene in an emergency room right. The other night, because that's a trigger. All the lights, all the action, everything else, that's a trigger. And they went into an episode, and so we had
issue.
You know, and yeah. We can't just take them in and expect for them to come out and wait on them right away. So you have somebody very valuable, either a peace officer or a hospital, you know, you're tying up resources until you can get them cleared to put them into a facility.
Well, and we have what, 12, 6?
Beds?
Yeah.
I think there's 16, isn't there?
Okay.
Yeah, I got anyway, it. I'm.
But it's relatively finite.
When they act out, when all that trauma around them, the lights and goes, when that happens,
yeah,
where do they end up going? Here to jail.
Yeah. Well, maybe. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, considering some of the different things that are out there, what opportunities do you anticipate? You'd mentioned the Harbor District and the dock. Okay, yeah. That's cool. I think it's no surprise about the windmills, and you've got the fish, and then there's also the opportunity with the fiber cable whenever that hits the shore. If we didn't have the history, we could be pretty excited about what the future looks like.
Well, and this is coming from a high school dropout, I'm more excited about what Humboldt State and Dr. Jackson and Dr. Merriweather and those guys are providing coming down
going to a Cal Poly, that would be
stunning. Making this a Cal Poly. I mean, the governor just put $421 million into the budget to facilitate this becoming a Cal Poly. We're talking about another 4,000 to 5,000 students over the next 4 or 5 years. They got funding for housing in that. They're going to be able to help with that housing and build some housing. But with that, other industries follow. Think about San Luis Obispo. Yeah. Think about, you know, and I see, look at the Cal Poly. Everybody from here goes to Cal Poly for the ag program. Maybe we're going to have an ag program up here, and people will come up here, you know. And you know, he's going to have to build campus. I don't know the details or anything else, but I do know that I have offered
some cool momentum.
It's great. And the big thing about that is I say this on every show because it just amazes me because of my time with, you know, still on RCRC, to have a little burg like Humboldt with our 135,000 people to be able to lean on these two learning institutions under, you know, Dr. Flamer and Dr. Jackson to provide what they're providing and to have them work together so well. So the kids want it. So I see trades stepping up because I mean, we're all having trouble filling the trades. And I always tell these people, you can go do what everything you want, but I got friends in the trades making $80,000, $100,000, $120,000 a year doing trades, doing the trade work because there are so much good jobs out there. And yeah, there's a demand. You don't get laid off. You go, if you don't like this guy, there's another guy that'll hire you.
So let's back that up a little bit. You mentioned, you know, the trades, and I think most of us think of housing pretty quickly. Is the county in a position to either pre-permit huge, based on Humboldt County definition of huge, more than 10?
Yeah.
Developments, waiving development fees. You know, some of the permitting costs. I mean, there's got to be structural things that the county can do to help make this happen and happen sooner?
Well, you say development meetings. We have every once in a while at a meeting, it'll come up that, you know, to cover all the infrastructure, we need to have development fees. And I says, well, why don't we just kill development and people, and we need taxpayers here that are owning homes. Those are, you know, getting somebody here that's a taxpayer owning a home, that's a long-term investment, because then pretty soon the grocery store will follow, the schools will follow, the education will follow.
The triggering event.
So, you know, and we talked about the other day about, you know, more housing will create so much stress. We lost 700 people, I think, is what the census said last year in Humboldt County. Now, we have a lot of people moving up here, and a lot of them are kind of coming up here to live up here with other family. I mentioned some houses that have sold, and a lot of them aren't coming up here for jobs. But you know what's going to start coming up here for jobs, like, man? Is if you're going to have 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 kids going to school at Humboldt, and obviously that's going to impact CR, and they're going to get more, that's going to bring people up here and families, because they're going to be teaching. And some people are going to come up because they can have their kids around, you know, go through our local schools here, which are great.
Teachers, kids, and then the supports for all that.
And go from there.
It's going to happen unless we don't have housing.
Unless we don't have housing. And the thing is, we talk about it, but we're going to have to figure something out. And just like we were saying, the cost of materials, and now you got to understand, everything now has to have solar. Everything has to have sprinkler systems. And they talk about affordable housing, and, you know, it comes up. You've got $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 by the time you do the hookups and everything else. I mean,
there's no vertical wood in your walls yet.
So it stretches that, you know, that unless you want to build a 400 square foot, then we turn into a, you know, and tiny homes are acceptable, but they're not for a family, and so we're going to run into that situation where we're going to have to figure out how we subsidize, how we work with people.
So is this stuff then that the county can help to facilitate, can help to drive keep the cost in line somewhat?
John Ford is looking at that. I know he's heard us, and he may not be hearing all of us say the same thing, you know.
Well, then there's still the naysayers.
But we don't want any new homes, no development, no more people.
And I don't know if it's that harsh, but if we stay,
we're going to go stagnant. You know, sitting water grows stagnant. It's got to move. And like I said, I've only been here a little over 60 years. But as long as, you know, the evolution of, you know, the things that happen, I mean, cutting has evolved into a bigger thing than it was.
You know, and if the roads can't handle it, okay, fine. Maybe it takes a little bit longer to get there.
Well, we're doing
Maybe we have some better, quote-unquote, urban planning. Okay. I mean, we certainly have tripped and fallen enough on that over the decades.
I've got roads being paved today that I've been asking Public Works when you get a chance or when we have some extra funds, and they agreed that it was time and that they're getting paved. It's been a while, but I mean, they're out getting, I mean, I think we approved $7 million worth of projects alone on Tuesday in the budget. I mean, some of it's paving, some of it's roads, some of it's culverts, some of it's road repair, but $7 million is a lot of dollars.
Do you have to approve that? For Tom to Tom Madsen and his department to spend it, or is this additional money out of contingency funds?
He's put it out and put it out to bid. We've already got the funding's been brought forward. What we do is just approve the contract.
So you have to do the final blessing.
Yeah, we just approve the contract. So
yeah, thinking of you in cleric's robes is really kind of frightening.
Yeah, trust me. Yeah. I'm pretty good on the wrong end of a shovel though.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. It's going to be cool. Whatever the future around here is going to be, Dad used to be, what was the phrase, cockeyed optimist. Right? I think it's from some musical. That's where I fall. I think that's where you fall also. I mean, I kind of get a sense maybe it's our turn. Well, is that too simplistic?
You know, you can, it's just like you said, people come here from outside the area and says, why do you have so much of that? Well, it's a lot of it's focused in one area because that's where the services are. I mean, it's not like it's everywhere. But I love the Sierras. I love the Eastern Sierras and Mammoth and those areas. And man, you can come across the lake and the Trinity Alps and everything else. But if you just want to revel in beauty, run up to Oreck and run through the redwoods up there. Take that horseback ride that the buckaroos do, and then come down to the beach, and see the ocean.
Drive half a mile somewhere, and you're there.
And then when you're done, go into Fern Canyon. And all of a sudden, you realize that sometimes they have the 10 neatest things to see in California. And a lot of times, there's two or three of them in Humboldt, and it's not necessarily the same two or three.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we've got the longest, for a county, we have the longest coastline in the state. We have the longest coastline of any county in the state. And, I mean, there is so many opportunities to enjoy the ocean. I mean, just go out to Petrolia. You've got 7 miles of beach right there you can walk out on. Do we have the beach you're going to surf on and swim in and everything else? No, but you get some pretty nice days where you can lay down there. But the other thing is you're just going to wallow in the beauty of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can just sit there and no people, and you're going, my God, this is my front yard, backyard, whatever the case may be.
So the sense that we might have an economic future that isn't tied to marijuana is just, it's exciting.
I think what's going to help with that is, in all honesty, the pandemic has helped us, and except for the losses and the trials and tribulations we did, and we're coming out of that. And next time we talk, I hope we're back in. I can tell you how cool it is to be back in Chambers, but the thing is, it's allowed people to, those numbers of people that are going to work away. We have work refugees coming up here and saying, I can, especially now that we have redundant broadband. You know, and we're going to get better broadband
and better airplane flights too.
You know, and the flights, we have a lot of flights. Cody Rogat's up there. You know, you talk about a kid that's done a great job. You take a look at a couple of years he's been here. It flies lately and everything else.
Right.
But all these new airlines. I mean, there's a lot of people that have gone out and talked to him and said, "Hey, come here," and everything else. But somebody has to get the tarmac ready. Somebody has to fuel them. Somebody has to organize all the people to keep the lobby clean and get all that stuff. And Cody and his crew have done a great job. And now they're...
Yeah, we're discoverable.
Yeah.
The thing that I guess I'm really as excited about as anything is that a lot of the stuff that we've talked about today is not something that somebody can steal from us. Marijuana, yeah, that can be grown in the valley. Got it.
Yeah.
Nobody can steal the ocean. Or the coastline,
or trees, or
Cal Poly,
yeah.
Or any of those types of things that were the cable line and the fish plant. All these things that everybody is starting to talk about now, those are unique and would be unique just to us. So we can build upon it and rely that those things are going to be here in 10 years, 15 years, 50 years. And we can really start to build an economic foundation that is not susceptible to some of the problems that we've had with the other areas.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, you take a look at some of the businesses that were built 50 years ago. Think about businesses that were built 50 years ago that couldn't be built now or 70 years ago. I mean, the old sawmill at Arcata Redwood, that whole island out there in the bay, that can never be done. Harvey, with his vision of taking it, you know, doing his little auto row out there and stuff like that, that could never be done again. I mean,
look at Arcata Redwood
or whatever I'm talking about across the street.
Oh, I thought you were talking about down at Sierra Pacific.
No, I'm talking about
that site also.
No, but I mean, there are so many of these things that would never be done, and they're actually coming back. And geez, it looks like there's still frogs, and there looks like there's still.
And the facilities are being utilized by people now. Yeah.
The idea of saying no to everything isn't just about saying no. It's become an industry. I mean, there's people that make big livings off it and don't want to, there's no meat in the middle anymore. And I mean, you're an idiot if you don't believe in them.
Well, negotiations don't protect the home front.
No. And I just, we have so many opportunities, and I want this place to stay. I've been here 60 plus years. I don't want big changes, But I also know there's got to be changes if we're going to keep moving along.
Well, yeah, yeah. And economic viability, is, I guess, definitionally would be a change because we've been down so long. But it's part of our history too.
I don't think we can. I don't think we can plan our future completely out of a book. I think we have I think we have to lean on some institutional knowledge
and the marketplace. Interesting stuff. All right, bud. Enjoy the rest of your week.
I will.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.